Appreciate that special. What a great song. And just a great thought to imagine what that was like for Mary, that young lady. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2 and Matthew chapter 2. I know you guys are multi-talented, so you can do that. Luke 2 and Matthew 2. I keep forgetting to mention this. Brother Bildon shared this with me this morning, and I keep forgetting. But we get the report. We help support the missions missionaries for the ABA and missionaries that are sent out by local churches around the nation, around other nations. But just this month, missionaries have reported 1,047 professions of faith. That was in the month of November. Amen. Let me try that one more time. In the month of November, they reported 1,047 professions of faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And by the way, we ought to be very, very excited about that. Amen. And that's over 1,000 people in about 30 days who have prayed and trusted Christ as their Savior. We need to continue to pray for those missionaries. They work with those people who come to Christ. 55 of those have been baptized, and I can assure you that the brethren are working to get more of them to be baptized. A lot of them are working in countries where it's very, very difficult to get people to make that decision, like Mulder, Oklahoma. If you think it's bad here, you can imagine what it's like. A longtime friend of ours, Brother Rosendo Pruneda, who has been serving the Lord in Mexico for over 50 years, there, when someone gets saved, their family is really glad for them that they have been born again. They don't even know what that means, but that's great, that's good. But when someone needs to get baptized into the Baptist church, their family will literally disown them, literally take them out of their inheritance, literally. One young lady that was baptized there several years ago, their family had a funeral for her. She was dead to them, never spoke to her again, as far as I know. And you can just imagine how difficult it is for people in those type of places to make that decision. So I'm so encouraged at the salvations, and please continue to pray for them. Since June, since the national meeting, the missionaries have reported over 5,000 professions of faith. And so praise the Lord for what he's doing through his churches. I'm so thankful for those men who've given their life to the gospel ministry. And some of them are serving right here in the States. Many of them are in other nations. And we ought to rejoice in what the Lord's doing. All right, if we could, please turn our attention back to Luke chapter 2, verses 36 through 40. And if you're able, let's stand together. As we've done the last few Sunday nights, I want to revisit where we were this morning, dig a little deeper, go a little farther, as we continue to think about this unspeakable gift that God's been giving, and it is truly a praiseworthy gift. If there was ever a reason to give praise, to give thanksgiving, to worship, it's because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And the Word of God says in Luke 2:36, "And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." Our Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Help us to understand, Lord, just your incarnation. Help us to understand your life. Help us to understand all that you are. And Lord, help us just to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for the testimony of these like Anna and Simeon who professed and proclaimed and confessed that Jesus, that child who was born so long ago, was the Christ, the Savior of the world, a light to lighten the Gentiles, the glory of your people Israel, the consolation that they had longed to see. Lord, thank you for their testimony, and may it just encourage our hearts today to live for you faithfully. Lord, as we continue to consider what a praiseworthy gift you've given in Christ, just may it stir up our hearts, Lord, that we can rejoice with exceeding great joy in all that you are and all that you've done and all that you're yet to do. And Lord, just stir us up as we begin this new year, that we would just have a new zeal and a new passion for you and for your work. Forgive our sin, ways we failed you in this past year. Lord, we know we failed you in so many ways. We pray that you'd cleanse us of our unrighteousness and help us, Lord, to love and serve you in a greater way than we ever have before. And Lord, may you get all the glory. Help us to be faithful to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Men, please be seated. We talked a little bit about Anna this morning in the service, and if you weren't able to be here, that's on the website if you want to check that out. But just Anna, who came at the very moment that Simeon held baby Jesus in his arms and proclaimed, Lord, let thy servant now depart in peace, for I have seen thy salvation. And he praises God, and he prophesies, and he gives that great prophecy to Mary that Jesus was going to change the world, that he was going to be set for the rise and fall of many. He even proclaims and tells her that a sword would pierce her own soul also, and all those things that he said. At that very instant, Anna shows up, and she gives thanks likewise. In other words, she starts praising the Lord in the same way. And I told you this morning, it was one of those things where she was, in response to what he was saying, she was responding, and they were confessing the same thing. They were agreeing with one another about who Jesus was, who this baby was. And it's just a great testimony, friends. I told you, the Lord does everything in the face of two or three witnesses. Every word is established. And that's what Luke is telling us here. Listen, we've got this witness here, and we've got the shepherd's witness, and we've got Simeon's witness, and we've got Anna's witness, and over we have these people who are confessing and agreeing, this child that Mary and Joseph brought to the temple, this is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Savior of the world. And it's so vital that we understand that. And so all of them, I told you, we had Elizabeth singing praise to God, and Zechariah singing praise to God, and Mary singing praise to God, and the angels singing praise to God and giving glory to God. We have the shepherds going everywhere and telling everyone the things concerning the child, and over, then Simeon is praising God, and we have Anna praising God. And here's the deal, friends. When people saw Jesus, it caused them to praise the Lord. Amen. And can I tell you, it ought to cause us to praise the Lord today. Amen. And I'm so ashamed of us sometimes, because we are the most blessed people on the planet, and yet we are the least thankful. And it's ridiculous. I am amazed at my ability to complain at nothing. A few years ago, I started seeing some things about third world problems. Maybe some of you guys saw some memes or some things about that. But it's ridiculous the things that we have to complain about today. One of them was, I thought this was hilarious because I thought this before. Have you ever chewed a piece of gum, like some mint or wintergreen or something, and then got a drink of water and the water was very, very cold after you got a drink? Anybody ever experienced that? That's third world problems. My water's too cold now that I've had this gum to chew. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that we complain about. I mean, we are ridiculous. I mean, sometimes, some of you tonight, I'm gonna get myself in trouble. Some of you here in a minute, some of you guys are going to be complaining because it's too hot in here. There are people freezing to death tonight. It is hot in here, by the way, in case you didn't know. And that's the way we are. But I'm trying to tell you tonight that when we've seen Jesus, when we know him, we ought to be the most thankful people on the planet. We have so much to give thanks for. And so we remember that when Jesus was 8 days old, they took him, they circumcised him, they officially named him according to the law. Then at 40 days, they came back and they made an offering. And you'll remember that the offering that they gave was a couple of birds. And there was a reason for that. Now, the offering was supposed to be a lamb. But if you couldn't afford a lamb, you could do two turtle doves or two young pigeons. You could do that if you couldn't afford a lamb. And if you couldn't afford the birds, then you could actually give an offering of grain. And that's if you were really, really, really poor. And so we learned something about Mary and Joseph. They weren't completely destitute, but they weren't very well off at 40 days when they came to the temple for the purification. And what that tells us is something very important. There was a very important event that took place that we commonly talk about during the Christmas time. We're going to talk about it tonight, that had to have happened after the purification. And so if you look at your Bible there in verse 39, and when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, and then you see a comma, and it says they returned into Galilee to their own city Nazareth, something big happened right in between there. And if you'll look in your Bibles at Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, we'll talk about that tonight. Another example of how praiseworthy the Lord Jesus Christ was. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Now, we're going to talk about the wise men coming, and the wise men brought elaborate gifts. And their gifts made Joseph and Mary extremely wealthy. You need to understand this tonight. We sing the song, we talk about we three kings and all that stuff. By the way, they weren't kings. They were wise men or magi from the east, probably somewhere around Yemen or someplace like that. But you got to understand, the gifts that they brought were extremely valuable. And we know that Joseph and Mary were godly, devout young couple. By the way, they were probably both just 13, 14 years old. Now, is that a terrifying thought? Yeah, we live in a different world today. And this gift that they were given, I guarantee, I believe this with all my heart, if they had the means, they would have bought a lamb to give for the purification. If no doubt about that. If they had the money, they would have bought a lamb. They didn't buy a lamb, therefore we know they didn't have the money. That's why they did the birds. And so the wise men had not come yet. And so when we look at Luke 2:39, we know somewhere in between performing all things according to the law and going back to Nazareth, somewhere inside of that verse, we have the account that Matthew gives us in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. By the way, aren't you glad for the harmony of the Gospels, that God has given us all these accounts and He wants us to study all of them so we can understand all of these things? Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.'" The wise men from the east saw his star. Now, I'm going to give you a lot. I don't know that I can give you a whole lot of answers as far as who these men were, or where they came from, or how they knew that star was Jesus' star. When you study the Old Testament, there's really not a whole lot there to reveal these things. And so can I just give you a little hint? Today, most people think that we are the smartest generations that have ever graced the planet Earth. And I want to tell you that I think that we are one of the dumbest generations to ever grace the planet Earth. You got to understand that 2,000 years ago, people were very, very smart, and they were able to discern things from looking at the stars. You know what I know from the stars? They're pretty. These magi. Now, if you'll go back in your Bible a little bit to the time of Daniel in Babylon, you remember how the kings always had these wise men that they brought around them, people who were very, very skilled in things like mathematics and language and astronomy and all those types of things. Well, these are the kind of men we're talking about here, men who were very, very intelligent, very, very skilled. Now, how did they know this star was the star of the king of the Jews? I have no idea. We know they came from the east. We know they saw a star. And by studying that in the sky, they were able to discern what king it was. Now, I'm telling you, friends, these people were smart. Amen. How do you know they were smart? Because they saw it, they understood it, and they were right. Amen. They were right. And God had to have had a hand in this. Now, I tend to personally believe, and I don't know that I can back it up for you scripturally, but I'll just say this. When you think about those places to the east, and you think about Babylon, you think about how Daniel was there for decades and had a great influence over that whole area. I believe that these men may be a remnant of what influence he had in his knowledge of the Word of God, his knowing God, and spreading that knowledge to others. And it may have had an impact for decades, and perhaps much longer than that, centuries in that area. Notice, first of all, that they searched diligently. "We have seen his star and are come to worship him." Can I just tell you today that if we are wise, we will search diligently for Jesus? You say, well, preacher, I don't need to search for him. He sought me and he found me. I don't need to look for him. But can I just remind you, the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And friends, if we really love the Lord, if we really believe the Lord, if you want to have the blessings of God in your life, then we ought to diligently seek him. Now, how do we do that? Well, we get into his word and we study it and we pray over it and we read it and we meditate on it day after day after day after day. And friends, there is a depth of knowledge and wisdom in this book that we can know the Lord Jesus Christ and know him more and more and more and more. And I'm so thankful that God's made himself available to us through his word. But you're not going to get this. You're not going to know him. You're not going to be able to have that deep knowledge of him and relationship with him if you don't get in the book. And most of us have an availability to know God in greater and greater ways. And I hope with all my heart that you know Jesus better today than you did this time last year. I don't know about you, but I think it's a wise thing to go back and examine your heart and look at your life. Did I spend more time in the Word this year than I did the year before? Did I pray more this year than I did the year before? Have I grown in my relationship with Christ? Or am I just kind of cruise control, just kind of going along, just coasting along? Friends, we ought to have a heart to know him and to search diligently to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, these people are kind of humorous to me. They tell me that they've read the Bible and they already know him. Listen, friends, if you've read through the Bible and you think you know everything there is to know about God, you are sorely mistaken. Amen. We'll never be able to exhaust the riches and the depths of the knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ, but what a joy to get to try to. That mine, those treasures go deeper and deeper and deeper. And what a sad thing it is for people who profess to know him to have no desire to know him more. Let me say that one more time. It's pitiful for people who say that they know Jesus and have no desire to know him more. Sad thing. They search diligently. Look on at verse 3. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Now this is interesting to me. Number one, when Herod the king heard that these wise men came looking for the king of the Jews, we saw his star, we know he's been born, where is he? Herod was troubled by that. But did you notice not just Herod was troubled, but the whole city was troubled by that. Everybody was upset that there was a king born. They were bothered by that. They were worried about that. They were concerned about that. I think it's also interesting that he gathered together, listen, all the chief priests and scribes of the people together. So all of the best of the best of all the scribes, those who were supposed to know the word of God better than anybody, the chief priests, these are supposed to be the cream of the crop, the very best of the best of the religious people who were to know the word of God and to know the truth of the word of God and be living by the word of God. They had to have some wise men come from countries far away to come and tell them that their king had been born, and they had no clue. Listen, it's just another testimony to how sad a shape the nation of Israel was in at that time. But they had it right. Oh, you want to know where Christ is going to be born? Well, that's Bethlehem, obviously. It's right here in the scriptures. Let me tell you about it. It says, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come forth a governor that shall rule my people Israel. He's going to be born in Bethlehem. And so, look at verse 7. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Now, we know that Herod was a liar. He wanted to know exactly when he was born and wanted to know exactly where he was born so he could go and have him killed, because Herod was a lunatic. Herod was a murderer. Herod killed many of his own family members, anything he could to protect his throne and his power. And we know that he was lying and all those things, but can I just listen? They weren't just talking about a king. Verse 4, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. This wasn't just a king that would threaten his throne and his authority. Listen, friends, he recognized that they were not talking about just any king. They were talking about Christ. They were talking about Messiah. They were talking about the anointed one of God, the promised one of God, the one who God said would come and save the world. That's who they were talking about. And Herod understood what he was talking about. And they said, oh, he's over in Bethlehem. And what did he do? He stayed. And what did the chief priests and the scribes do? They stayed. None of them got together and said, we've got to go see our king. The Messiah has come. We've got to go meet him. We want to see for ourselves that Messiah has come. No, they all stayed and they let these foreigners go on. This is crazy. It wasn't just a king that threatened his political power. This was Messiah, and he said it with his own mouth. Where's Christ going to be born? Where's the Messiah going to come? And when they told him, he didn't care. He got the wise men off to the side and said, now when did that star appear? I need to know exactly when that was. Now go find him, and when you find him, come back and tell me so I can come and worship him too. No, come back and tell me so I can have him slain. What a sad, sad account. Verse 9. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. I'd like to submit to you tonight, I've read a lot of different theories about this star. People say that they've picked stars, they've picked constellations. Some people have the idea that it was a comet, not really a star, but just a comet, a heavenly body. By the way, have any of you ever seen a comet? Those are neat, aren't they? Halley's Comet. Don't drink the punch. That was Hellbop. Sorry, wrong one. Comets are neat. People have ideas that it was a comet, and just as it traversed, it happened to go over to where Bethlehem was. I want to just submit to you that this was no ordinary star. When they were in the east, they saw the star, so they went to Jerusalem. Now, they didn't follow the star the whole way because, remember, it says here, when they saw the star, they had seen it, and then it seems to be that they didn't see it for a while. Did you catch that? When they had seen the star. Well, they already saw the star, so it seems to indicate that they didn't see the star for a while. They saw it, indicated the king of the Jews had been born, and so they went to Jerusalem. Seems like a reasonable place to look for the king of the Jews. But he wasn't there, and King Herod didn't have a clue because he didn't know his Bible. But he got the people who did know the Bible, and he said, well, he's going to be born in Bethlehem. And so they went towards Bethlehem. And as they went, the star reappeared to them. And then this star did something incredible. It went and stood over where Jesus was. By the way, it wasn't the stable where he was born. Now he's in a house. Now this is no ordinary star, people. This star led them and stopped over their destination. That's awesome. This is far better than GPS. No recalculating necessary. I mean, the Lord just led them exactly where they needed to go. What an amazing, amazing God. So they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Now look at verse 10. Now we get to the good stuff. More good stuff. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Now, you can just imagine this. They were over there in the east somewhere, and they saw a star, and as they studied the stars and the signs of the heavens, this indicated that the king of the Jews had been born, and they were excited enough about it that they wanted to go see him, that they wanted to bring him gifts. And so they came to Jerusalem, and they didn't know where to go after that. So they looked in the scriptures, and the chief priests and scribes told them where to go. And as they went, the star appeared to them again. And when they saw the star and it stopped over where they were headed, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. You know why? Because they were about to meet the king. and they were overjoyed to meet the king. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you got overjoyed about anything? I'll give you a minute to think about it. I've confessed to you before that I really, really, really love to watch football. There's some people in this church who will not sit next to me at a football game because I really, really, really like to watch football. And I tend to get excited. I'm not going to say any names tonight. I'm going to try not to make any eye contact. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But I get really excited at football games. I really enjoy it. I get excited when there's a good play. I get excited when somebody makes a touchdown. I get excited about defensive plays. I get excited about good blocks. I mean, I like football. I enjoy it. And I am prone to yell and scream and stomp and be excited about that. I was really, really happy when my kids were born. I don't know how you guys are, but all four of them, you know, it's an overwhelming feeling of joy. And just, it's an emotional thing too. And then you gotta, you know, unwrap them, make sure they got all their toes and fingers and all that stuff. Anybody else do that? Just count to make sure. Like the nurse didn't already do that, but I need to see for myself. And just a joy to hold those babies. I Melissa and I are about to celebrate. I'm going to celebrate our anniversary. I don't know if she will or not. Tuesday will be 13 years. I remember that day. What a day. You know, fellas, when they first come in the room, they're at the back and you first see them. Anybody pretty excited about that? When your bride started walking down the aisle? Nobody? A little help here? Somebody? Anybody? Wow. Kind of feeling alone up here, Brother Roger. There's been some moments in my life that I've had a lot of joy. But I want to tell you, the day that I got saved was a joy unlike any I'd ever had before. Amen. Can you remember? I mean, I knew that I wasn't going to hell anymore. I knew my sins had been forgiven. I knew I'd been given eternal life. Friends, you unless you've experienced it, I can't explain to you the joy that I felt the day I was saved. And these men, when they saw that star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And listen, God doesn't bandy with words. When he says exceeding great, he means exceeding great. He put that in there for a reason. He could have just said great joy, but he didn't. He said exceeding great joy. These people were overjoyed. They had incredible joy because they were about to see the King of the Jews. And I have an idea that they too, like Herod, understood that this wasn't an ordinary king, that this was the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one of God, the one who'd be the Savior of the world. And they were so overjoyed to see him. And friends, what's wrong with us? When we go to pray and we're too tired to pray because we've had a rough day or whatever, friends, we are praying and we're coming into the presence of Almighty God and we ought to have joy to pray. Amen. What is wrong with us when we feel like it's a big burden to have a Bible reading schedule and to spend time in God's Word every day? Like, it's just so hard for us to do and I can't stay awake and I got too many other things to do. Why can't we come to the Word of God with exceeding great joy? Because we're going to get to see God in the Scriptures. We're going to get to see Jesus in the Scriptures. We're going to get to know Him. What is wrong with us when we have to go to church? Friends, this place is the place where the Word of God is proclaimed. This place is the place where the people of God come together to worship the God of heaven, to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, to preach His word, and we ought to be excited to come into the house of God, and we ought to have great joy to be in this place. Listen, there's nothing special about this building in and of itself. This building's special because some godly people who came before us dedicated this building to the purpose of the preaching of the word of God. This place is special because it's the place that we have put aside to come together and carry out the Great Commission as the Lord's church. And we ought to be excited to come to church. Now listen, I'm preaching to myself just a little bit. There's been a lot of times in my life where I had to go to church. I want to tell you, fellas, especially you men, you ought to be careful talking about we have to go to church. You ought to be telling your kids we get to go to church. Exactly. Friends, we've got a privilege. Amen. We ought to have exceeding great joy to come into God's presence, to come into God's house, to do these things. We're so blessed. Well, it's right there in verse 11. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were coming to the house. Listen, I get it. It's just a building. But that house was special because Jesus was there. Amen. And this place is special when we come together as a church because Jesus is here. Amen. If he's not here, then what are we doing? But he is here. And we're here for him. They came into the house. They saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. Friends, we ought to search diligently. We ought to rejoice greatly. And we ought to worship humbly. When they saw Jesus, they fell down and worshiped. I've told you the story so many times, but it's just, I don't know a better way to illustrate it. I told you about the guy who told his friend, he said, "I saw Jesus." And the guy said, "Oh, really?" He was a skeptic like me. "Really? That's amazing. Tell me about it." He said, "Well, I was in the bathroom this morning brushing my teeth, and I saw Jesus in the mirror. And I turned around and looked, and he wasn't there. And I turned back, he was right there in the mirror." And the fellow said, "Well, what did you do?" He said, "Well, I just kept on brushing my teeth." Guess what? You didn't see Jesus. There's not a human being that sees Jesus and stays on their feet. You see Jesus, you fall on your knees and you worship him. Even the demons, when they saw Jesus, trembled. Even the demons, when they saw him, they fell down. Did you know that your Bible tells you that the demons, demon-possessed people, worshiped Jesus? Why? Because they fear before God. And when they saw that little baby, at this time he's not a baby, he's a young child. But when they saw the young child, they fell down and worshiped him. And friends, when we see Jesus, we ought to fall down and worship. We ought to rejoice greatly, but we ought to worship humbly. And then we ought to give sacrificially. Look on there in verse 11. "And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." They gave sacrificially. And friends, I told you these things were incredibly expensive gifts. This was no small thing. And I don't think it was, I honestly think that they sacrificed to give to Jesus. Gold and frankincense and myrrh were extremely valuable. And I don't care how wise they were or whatever, how wealthy they were, this was a sacrifice to give to the Lord. They gave gold, representing his royalty. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is King. They gave frankincense, representing his deity. As the incense was burned, representing the prayers of God's people, I believe they gave this frankincense as a symbol of the fact that he is God. Isaiah 7:14 says, "The Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." What is Emmanuel? It is God with us. They gave myrrh, I believe, representing his sacrifice. Jesus Christ is Savior. He is King. But he was born to die for our sins. Ephesians 5:2 says, "Walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." Gold, frankincense, and myrrh representing his royalty, his deity, and his sacrifice for us. And can I just encourage you today that if you really want to praise the Lord, it's not just sing a song, it's not just read a verse, but it's give. Somebody once said that if you really want to know where someone's heart is, you need to look no further than their pocketbook. Well, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Right? Listen, if we love the Lord, we ought to give to the Lord. We ought to give of him our time, our talents, and our treasure. And can I just remind you tonight that you have nothing except the Lord allows you to use it. And we are not owners of anything. We are only stewards, managers of everything. Amen. Where to give. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And you ought to give, friends. You ought to give your tithes and your offerings to the Lord. And if you're giving grudgingly, you can go ahead and just keep it in your pocket, because God's not going to be blessed by that. He's not going to be honored by that. You ought to give cheerfully. Amen. It ought to be a joy. By the way, when we do the offering in this church, that's part of our worship. Amen. What did they do? Well, they saw Jesus, they fell down, they worshiped him, and they gave him gifts. This is not about a preacher begging for money. I hear that all the time. They'll preach it, begging for money, begging for money, begging for money. Let me help you out. God does not need your money. Amen. It's a blessing to get to give to God. He doesn't need your money. You say, well, oh, all right, well, I'll just keep it. If that's your heart, then you ought to. Right. No, our heart is that God has given us everything, and we give him a little bit back to recognize the fact that it all belongs to him. And it's not just about our money. It's not just about our treasures. It's about our talents, too. God has gifted every one of you. He's given you abilities, and you ought to use your abilities for God's glory. Do you hear me? I mean, if you can play an instrument, you ought to do it for God's glory. If you can sing, you ought to do it for God's glory. If you can work, you ought to do it for God's glory. It's not just about what happens up here in the front of the church. It's about what happens all over the place. Listen, God blesses people who have all kinds of talents. And you know why we have heat and air and lights and vans that run and plumbing that works? Because people use their talents for the Lord. Amen. Our time. I would say that one of the greatest gifts God gives us is our time. If you say to me you don't have enough, you've got exactly as much every day as everyone else does. And we ought to manage our time, manage ourselves to use our time for God. One last thing, and then I'll be done. Search diligently, rejoice greatly, worship humbly, give sacrificially, and lastly, we ought to listen carefully. And being warned of God, verse 12, in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. If you want to praise God with your life, if you want to give thanks to Jesus Christ for all that he is and all that he's done, search diligently for him in his word. Rejoice greatly at the privilege to get to know him and see him by faith. Worship him humbly when you see him. Bow down before him. Give sacrificially to him of your time, talents, and treasures. And then can I encourage you, if you really want to worship the Lord, listen carefully. If you love me, Jesus said, keep my commandments. It worked out pretty well for the wise men. When they listened carefully, they went another way. Can I help you out? Make no mistake about it, if those wise men had gone back to Herod, Herod would have killed them. He wasn't the kind of guy to leave any loose ends. He was the kind of guy that was going to take care of anybody who might be a problem for him. And if these guys came back telling everybody that the king, we saw him, we saw that Christ child, we saw the king of the Jews, he's right over there. Herod didn't want them going around doing that. He would have killed them. And because they listened to the Lord, they were saved. They were protected. Amen. And let me help you out. When we listen to God, he'll bless us. He'll protect us. And when we don't listen, all we're doing is hurting ourselves. This evening, we're going to get ready for a verse of invitation. And while our musicians are coming, I would invite you to stand with me. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. He is a praiseworthy gift. We have reason to rejoice with exceeding great joy. We have reason to give thanks. We have reason to bow down and worship. We have reason to give everything to the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight, as we This is it, friends. It's our first day of the new year coming to an end. And I can't think of a better thing for every one of us to do tonight than just renew our commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. In our hearts tonight to fall down before Him and worship Him. In our hearts tonight to ask for His grace to help us to live for Him. For His forgiveness for the failures that we've made in this past year. We just need to be real tonight. And if the Lord's convicting your heart, if you just want to come and give thanks for all that God's done and ask Him to help you in the new year, I just want to encourage you to respond to the Word of God in obedience tonight. If His Holy Spirit's convicting you, listen carefully for the Holy Spirit tonight. And let's ask Him to help us to serve Him in a better way this new year. While we sing what number?
Page 544.
Number 544. Holy Spirit speaking to your heart, would you come?